What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Today, Joe Biden's most awkward, pathetic moment so far as Democrats fawn all over Barack Obama. Also, Colorado's new abortion law allegedly leaves the door open to infanticide. No, I'm not joking. We will get into it. But the left is literally a death cult now, in case you were not paying attention. We've got all of that and more coming up, and it all starts right now. Welcome to the News and Why It Matters. Happy Hump Day. I am Sarah Gonzalez, today joined by Stu Bergier, host of Stu Does America. Word on the street is that Stu Bergier is a huge fan of Hump Day.
A big, big fan of Hump Day, yes. That's got a bumper sticker. That's what it says. It says,
wow, I've never seen it.
Big fan of Hump Day. That's what it says.
Also joined by Bernie of MacTools.
Yeah. Right?
I don't know.
This Bernie actually had a real job.
What the hell is this?
That was the other one. I don't know.
Where'd you get this?
It's kind of my new style. Yeah, I think so. Like the Goodwill.
Jason Buttrell, chief researcher of the Glenn Beck Program.
See, when you have a lot of hair, you can do these types of things.
Really?
It just works. If I was bald, I couldn't pull this off.
Mm-hmm. Really? It's just the hair. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He always wants to remind you guys that he has hair now.
Where's my fan?
All right. So let's get into this Joe Biden story. I saw these videos surface last night on social media, and I had a fleeting moment where I actually felt bad for the guy. It was just a fleeting moment, okay? It came, it went, it's very far gone, and I still just adamantly oppose everything that he does with every fiber of my being. But there was a moment when I watched him this was President Barack Obama, of course. Biden signed an executive order strengthening the Affordable Care Act, which is weird because I heard that the Affordable Care Act was going to solve everything, and that was why they put it into motion. Apparently, we need to strengthen it now. And so as Biden was signing this executive order, Barack Obama was there because this was, of course, his landmark legislation, his hill to die on. And it was Obama, it was Kamala Harris, and it was Joe Biden. And it was like this weird exclusive club that Joe Biden was not invited to, even though he is the president of the United States. And it's a very, very awkward moment to watch here. Hey guys, hey, I'm here too. What are you saying to him? Hey, why are you shaking his hand? Hey, wait a minute, Buster. Hey, look fat.
You called him Barack.
Come on now. Hey, what are you saying to these people? Hey guys, hey, I mean, really awkward moment. So I want to get your thoughts on this, but I want to play one more clip for you, which is, this is in the middle of this visit. Joe Biden, again, he's like wandering all alone by himself up on the stage while everyone else is focused on Obama. Watch. I mean, this literally is like someone's grandpa who like doesn't know where he's going. He has no idea. There's Obama. Everyone's talking to Obama. He's just like, well, I guess I'll just make my exit. I don't really know what I'm doing here, I guess. Really uncomfortable moment, specifically with the fact that like, we know that this guy is not all there, right? I mean, we know that. But to have his former president, when he was vice president, come in and steal the show is just, I want to feel sorry for him. I don't. It was fleeting. It's gone. But it is to the point where I'm like, God, he's just an old man who like really does not belong there. And someone needs to get him in a home, or at least in his own home, where he can just live out the rest of his days comfortably and, you know, feebly, and not like setting the stage for World War III.
Someplace warm. Yeah, someplace nice and comfortable, maybe with a Craftmatic adjustable bed.
He likes, I feel like he probably likes pudding. Yeah. Maybe someplace with unlimited pudding.
Pudding is fantastic. It's a great thing, and people love it.
One of those rascals, you know, that you can just get in and run off to Walmart
absolutely.
On or something.
Absolutely. The little, the thing that goes up the stairs, you sit on it and it just goes up the stairs.
Yes, that thing's awesome.
I mean, I kind of want that now.
Yeah, I got one installed in my house. it's sad. It is sad at some level, but I mean, you have to, of course, remember that why would you want to talk to him? He's a catastrophe.
Yeah.
He's a walking catastrophe. If you care about Democratic causes, he's done nothing but weaken them. He's made his presidency into a joke within 15 months of taking office. Everything he's touched has been destroyed. And so you're not going to be the popular guy at parties when you're doing that. He's about to oversee a party that is going to have a historical defeat in this election if the Republicans don't screw it up, which is...
And if there's no fortifying.
If there's no what?
Fortifying.
Fortifying, yes.
I don't want any fortifying.
Fortifying, that could, of course, occur at any time, the fortifying. But he's in serious trouble here. And I don't know that... I don't know that watching this does anything other than illustrate to everyone on the outside what sort of vision there is of Joe Biden on the inside, which is like, this is not the guy you want to hang out with. It's not the guy you want to talk to. When people would rather talk to Kamala Harris, you are way, way down in the gutters. That's tough.
That's a great point.
From what you said earlier, you know, not feeling sorry for him, or do you feel sorry for him? I felt sorry for him when he was doing that debate and he started bleeding out of his eye. And then, remember that?
Oh,
and then we
God,
were like,
I
oh my gosh. Like, I literally felt, it was like a cartoon. Any moment you thought an ear was going to fall off or something like that. It is. It's senior abuse is what it is. Yeah. But I've always seen this, and I think these videos kind of really show that this has always felt like just Obama's third term. All of Obama's people, all of his national security establishment, you know, State Department people, even Susan Rice for crying out loud, people like that, they're still in the administration. Mm-hmm. So it's like they just took 4 years off and they're all right there, you know, together again. And we also know that Biden wasn't wasn't Obama's first choice. It took him forever to finally try and, you know, come out and say, okay, you know, now that this is basically at the end of our rope, this is our guy that we're going to get behind. But he was the one that said himself that, you know, never underestimate Biden's ability to screw things up. Mm-hmm. Only he didn't say screw. they did not want Biden here. He was the only one that was electable enough to fend off 72-ish plus million votes from Donald Trump, which they knew was going to have. So they had to do something to get all the people that Trump pissed off, mostly independents. They had to get something, somebody as docile looking enough, you know, that they could find. And that was Biden.
And I don't even think it would have worked under normal circumstances, but they let him stay in a basement for 12 months.
Yep.
And I mean, you know, it really is amazing. And remember when Barack Obama picked Joe Biden to be his vice president, all the reporting since then shows that he picked him, quotes from inside this decision-making process, because he was old and white. That was like legitimately why he thought that the Americans were too racist to pick someone who wasn't a white male.
But it seems like that pick in itself is pretty racist.
When you pick people based on skin color, Sarah, there are some people who think that's the definition of racism.
I don't know.
It's just a weird, crazy thing. But that's exactly what he did. He wanted someone who was old because he was young and he would look at his experience. And of course, he was this, as he says every time you ask him, he has a funny name, Barack Obama. And he didn't think the American people would come along with it. But they did, and partially because he, you know, picked Joe Biden, a guy who was like the most milquetoast nothing that he could think of. Now, the Democrats eventually got desperate, right? They had either a choice between Bernie Sanders, a socialist who is Joe Biden would have had no chance of winning, or you pick a guy who people have a generalized opinion who's kind of in the middle. They're wrong on that, but they have an opinion that he was sort of like a blue collar guy, lunch bucket Joe. And when you didn't need to see him, when the media went along with a plan to make sure that not only did you not see him out of his basement, but also you didn't have to deal with things like the laptop or any of these other controversies in corruption throughout the entire process, he was able to hide from the election. And that was their strategy. It was a smart strategy on the Democrats' part, keep him out of the public eye. It worked, and now he's in office. But there was never a point. No one of the tens of millions, 81 million people who voted for Joe Biden, none of them voted for Joe Biden. They voted against Donald Trump.
Yeah, can I just?
For sure.
81 million.
Yeah.
That's a cute wink,
you know,
right?
That second video is exactly how I see his entire presidency. And that's exactly, I think, the instructions he was given. Like, you're going to do nothing until you're told to do something. Mm-hmm. Right? Because how many times have we seen that where he's just walking off in some other random direction or looking for someone to give him
advice? Well, he also literally, in his press conferences, he says, like, I'm going to get in trouble
saying
this, right?
Point.
All the time.
Yeah.
All
the time. I should go to Sarah next.
Yeah.
That's like, how it is.
By whom? Who are you going to get in trouble with? Yeah. Who is telling you to go to this person?
Well, it's like Joe Biden is no ideologue, right? He's an establishment corrupt politician. Yeah. That's what he is. Now they're doing things, his administration is doing things that seem very like ideologue-ish, right? Mm-hmm. All these other things. That's not who he is.
Right.
So it's Barack Obama's third term. It really is. All his people, they have a mission to fundamentally transform the United States of America. That's what they want to do. I don't think Biden was ever a part of that.
Can we pause and think about what a weird approach this is, though? I mean, here's a guy who got elected, got the nomination in the Democratic Party, primarily for ignoring Twitter. I mean, he didn't pay attention to it. He didn't go down every AOC road in that primary. He stuck to his guns and you know, didn't go for every single Bernie Sanders plan like Beto did, like Kamala did, like everybody else on that stage did. He was one of the only people who resisted, you know, universal single-payer health care. And he said, no, we just need to expand Obamacare. He did that over and over and over again in the campaign. And the second he got into office, he has been, I would say, considerably to the left of the Barack Obama presidency. Mm-hmm. He has embraced every left-wing meme type of policy. He's gone down all of these roads, and it's hurt him. I mean, it has hurt his presidency by just trying to run the country as he might imagine Ilhan Omar would run the country. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, there was reporting that Barack Obama actually wanted to do what Biden was doing now. But he thought that the way to do that was he would have to work.
It's a gradual.
Right. Yeah. He was like, we're going to have to work with the other side, all that stuff, play that game. And that pissed off a lot of the hardliners then, because they didn't get anything done except for Obamacare is basically the only thing.
I mean, they still think they got a lot done, but they were disappointed in the results. But, you know, with Biden, it's like there is no long game when you're 78. You just go for it.
And hope that you stay alive.
Your heart beats enough until you can actually sign the bill.
So we're talking about, Jason, you mentioned elder abuse being part of the scenario. It feels like you can visibly see the decline every single day. Like every day when you see him go out, it just feels like it gets worse and worse. I saw the post-millennial tweet this video out. This was from today. President Biden was speaking at a building trade union conference. And I just want to know exactly what it is that he's saying. I listened to it several times and I literally could not figure it out. There's one portion there that I'm like, huh? Play that again. And I still can't figure it out. I'm hoping you guys can help me. Let's listen.
You know what it is. Most people don't. To ensure that we rebuild America, we upheld a promise. A promise.
To ensure the what? Go do it again. Do it again.
You know what it is. Most people don't.
Most people don't.
To ensure that we rebuild America, we upheld a promise.
I hear.
Promise.
I hear we have to have a promise. I hear that.
Yeah.
I hear the beginning. To ensure what?
Bramble? I don't know.
Bramble? Is bramble a word? I don't know. I may just not know what the word is. He did the whole malarkey thing. It's possible one of these words like from like the 1830s
that
he just uses all the time. And I feel weird criticizing him because a lot of times he just knows more about old-timey language than I do.
You mean like Trunanaprolesimer?
Right. Like, who knows? That could have been a big thing around the Civil War
era.
That's a great point.
This is also the guy who's like basically, you know, calling Putin a war criminal and calling for a regime change and all of that. Can't formulate his sentences on stage. So
scary. I think he might be saying something about building America. Can we hear it one more time?
Let's play it one more time.
Because this is just...
You know what it is. Most people don't. To ensure that we rebuild America, we upheld a promise.
Rebuild America?
Is it rebuild?
That's what I heard.
I mean, he's definitely slurring it, but that might have been what he was going for. Now, to be clear, he didn't say that. I want to make sure people understand. He
We're
did not
giving
say
him a lot of leeway
America.
Here when we
are inserting the language into his speech. That's to try to translate what we think he may have said.
That's like that. That was that Army of Darkness movie where he didn't know the last like magic word, so he just goes. You know, like, throw it out there. I couldn't read that in the teleprompter, so yes. I just got to cough through it.
That's scary. And to your point, this I really do think we are at a really dangerous area
yes.
right now. I mean, you know, saying that Vladimir Putin is a war criminal is something that if we want to say it around this table, we yep. can say it around this yep. table. It's not that big of a deal. When you're the president of the United States, that is a legal charge. That is a mass saying you want him. He's got to be out of power is not just something you say. We could say it at this dumb table.
Right.
He can't
hey.
Say it. Well, the table. I'm just saying in front of the table. No, it's a very nice table. I still got the same bizarre centerpiece
you
of greens in the middle from the beginning of the show. So many episodes ago. But I mean, like, we can say it,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Eve, you want to stretch really far, and I would say, I would even advise against Lindsey Graham blurting it out.
Right.
I don't think that's
yes.
a good idea
yes.
either.
Any lawmaker
should not
leader.
Be saying stuff
yes.
like that. It's a very sensitive time. You have to know that. But as president of the United States, a guy who was brought into not only the presidency, but also the vice presidency because of his supposed expertise as an old white guy, you should know, above all things, to not blurt out stuff like that. And he continues to do it over and over again. Thank God we can't understand what he's saying half the time. Who knows what war we'd be in?
I remember that there was a debate. It was McCain against Obama. And they were having this huge argument over whether conditions should be part of diplomatic discussions. Yep. And Obama was like, nah, screw it. We don't need conditions. Everything's on the table. And then McCain's like, hey, that's very dangerous because there's some things you're just not mm-hmm. supposed to say in a public forum like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're having those types of things they were arguing about just blurted out during
yeah.
press conferences that's, with NATO.
Yeah,
it's scary. Again, like, Vladimir Putin doesn't need much of a justification to do a lot of bad things.
No.
And Biden has handed him 50 different reasons why he could justify to his people, certainly a cyber attack against the United States. Who knows? I mean, I hope he doesn't do that.
Listen,
but like,
don't worry. Joe Biden already gave him all of our most vulnerable places.
Yeah, whatever you do.
Don't attack these specific areas, so it's fine. He won't. He,
don't
he
use
knows.
Password 123 yeah. when you're doing it.
He knows. He knows now not to target any of those vulnerable infrastructures. All right, we've got more to come after the break. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Genucel. So if you're looking in the mirror every morning, right, how old does your mirror say you are? Keep in mind, you have lived the last 2 years of craziness, so it probably is not very kind if you are like me. But you know what? You don't even have to answer this question anymore. We are now introducing new Ultra Retinol Cream from Genucel. Let me tell you, I want to, Control, can you show this before and after? Because I want to show that. I think this is very, very crucial to understanding. Look at this. You can see the age spots are gone. You can see the fine lines are gone. This is stuff that really works. This is an Ultra Retinol Cream. It's got concentrated hyaluronic acid. This technological wonder, it hydrates your skin at a cellular level, and it builds on the deep moisture with the incredible anti-aging effects of a natural retinol alternative. But it's going to be good for even the most sensitive of skin. It's not going to have the harsh side effects of retinol. You can go to genucel.com/Y for up to 50% off of this brand new Ultra Retinol Cream. You're also going to get the Genucel immediate effects for results in 12 hours or less. That is for free with your order. So go there now. Do not sleep on this. This is genucel.com/Y. We all need a refresher after the last 2 years, okay? So do this for yourself. You've got free express shipping, free returns, great customer service, 100% money back guarantee. You've got nothing to lose at genucel.com/Y. That is genucel.com/Y. Colorado has become the 15th state in the union to enshrine the right to have an abortion into state law. Now, this is a bill that pro-life organizations say may legalize infanticide, but Democratic Governor Jared Polis signed this Reproductive Health Equity Act. That's what they're calling it. Let me just repeat that. Reproductive Health Equity Act. There's a lot to unpack there just in those four words. He signed this into law yesterday. I'm sorry, 2 days ago. A law that affirms women in Colorado have the right to kill their unborn babies during pregnancy and blocks public entities from acting to deny or restrict that right. This is the pattern that we have seen in these left-leaning states, that they are worried that Roe versus Wade may be overturned by the Supreme Court. They're not sure what is going to happen with it because we're still awaiting that decision. And so they are acting themselves and saying, we are going to make sure that our state is a sanctuary for mothers who like to kill their own children, which to me doesn't seem like a place where you would want to make a sanctuary for people to come, because that actually seems like a very evil thing to do. But the left loves it because, as we know, they are a death cult. So I want to get into, though, the actual language of this particular legislation, because pro-life organizations are saying that this actually is opening the door, is leading kind of the way into infanticide. And, you know, if you're on the left, you're like, that is conspiracy theory. You guys are full of crap. You don't know what you're talking about. But I want to talk about the logistics of it. So this is HB 1279. It's going to forbid, this is what it says. It forbids cities, counties, towns, and the state government from interfering with a woman's right to abortion. But it also says that it forbids any jurisdiction from infringing an, quote, individual's right to act regarding the, quote, pregnancy's outcomes. So that would be like if that's a pregnancy outcome.
What is the outcome of a pregnancy?
Typically the goal is for the birth of a child.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
I mean, that is a pretty big outcome of pregnancy.
Occasional.
Let me just woman-splain to you, because I am an actual woman. So let me just tell you, I've gone through it a couple times.
I identify in this different way.
I am not a biologist, but I am telling you. So the bill defines reproductive health care. Okay, to include postnatal and delivery care. So postnatal, that is a word with an actual definition, and that means after childbirth, right? So if you are forbidding any regulation of postnatal care, that would mean, again, this is just like, it doesn't say it outright, but if you're drawing inferences from the specific language, the specific wording that was used, it says that any regulation of postnatal care, that means an infant that is born before or during an abortion or during a botched abortion, could be left to die or euthanized after a physician's consultation. By the way, in this particular bill, Section 1B says we especially need this bill for, quote, people of color and people with low incomes.
It's like that sounds racist to me. I hear a tinge of racism in that.
Yeah. I can't imagine why you would say that. So
I don't know. It feels uncomfortable to even say out loud. We want to abort kids, and we really need it for the African American families out there. We don't want any of them. That's a weird freaking thing to say.
Well, they're all poor.
Yeah, it's such a. That's really what they're saying. You know, look, this is amazing. And I think, like, there's a couple of ways to look at this, right? Like, are they trying, is it just a bill that's written too broadly? I think there's a good argument to be made that, you know, that's not necessarily what they intended. I mean, Polis is supposedly the model of moderation on the Democratic Party, right? Like, he was the guy kind of seen as this model of Democrats' approach to COVID, where he lifted the restrictions before, even some red states. So it's interesting to see that this is the direction he might be going in. You know, do I think that this is going to be like every corner they're going to open up a new hut to kill your 1 month old? Probably not. But if you are Gosnell, or you just have one of these situations where a baby survives the abortion, you don't want it to live, would you be able to use this as a defense in court? I think, yeah,
yes.
And you might very well win. Mm-hmm. You know, I certainly would argue there's no way to say postnatal care can be ending the life, but they can't say that.
Right.
That's their whole argument. Their whole argument is care equals ending lives. So I don't know how they would argue this. I mean, look, anytime you see a group of people that is so incredibly dedicated to making sure the heartbeat of a baby stops, you have to wonder and worry about anything like this that's written in too broad a fashion. How often would they use this as a fallback for the darkest things we can all imagine about a policy? They don't treat these people, and I mean that people, as human beings. They don't treat them as lives. And so when you make that decision, you can do all sorts of things that should be in horror movies.
I agree with you, but I think it goes deeper than that. I don't think we have to imagine it. I think we're seeing it specifically in this whole thing that's going on in Washington, D.C. with the pro-life organization who turned over the fetal remains to the Washington, D.C. authorities. They refused to investigate. They refused to have their medical examiner perform an autopsy on these babies. But when you see, did you see the images? Did you look at them?
Yeah.
I mean, they're haunting. I will never forget them. Until the day that I go to be with God. Like they will stay with you forever. But I think that it's very important that people look at these because you're like, these are things that like we have questions, legitimate questions when you see these fetal remains of these babies that have their heads that appear to be like their skull is crushed and their brain is sucked out so that they can be aborted in a partial birth abortion, which is supposed to be illegal. So, Jason, what are your thoughts on this? Is this intentional, the language?
Intentional. That's a good question.
I mean, because you would think, let me just say one more thing. You would think if the Democrats are only for, they're obviously for abortion up until the point of birth, right? They're obviously for
that.
That's
what they're trying to do.
That's what they're trying to do with this at the very least. Where I'm giving them all of the goodwill that I can possibly give them on that. You would think that they would at least make sure that the language would state that, right? Like you can read that and you hear this pushback and you're like, oh, well, yeah, we're not trying to kill babies. So, like, we probably shouldn't do this if this is opening the door for a legal excuse for killing actual babies that have already been delivered. Because we know they don't consider you a baby until you have passed through the magical birth canal and been afforded the right to live.
I struggle with the intentional thing because, yeah, I would say I think they do understand how ridiculous most of their arguments are when you actually look at them critically and you take them out as far as you can. Mm-hmm. And I say that is like, so we're having a hard time even defining what this is. I think they were also having a hard time defining what this is because when they think about it, they're like, okay, so, you know, they're all around a table or whatever, probably a big red table. That's just with skulls and stuff. And they're like, okay, so wait a minute. What if during an abortion, the baby ends up living? Well, I mean, is there a difference now that the baby's alive a couple of seconds after, you know, it actually passed through the birth canal? Wait a minute, does that make sense, Dan? I don't know, Dave, you tell me. Well, okay, so what if the mother intends to abort the baby, but something happens and the baby is born prematurely? Is it really worth a life? Well, yeah, it's premature, you know, but it's alive, it's living, just as it was inside the mother's stomach. Well, crap, there's another hole in our argument then. So if it's alive then, how can we say it has no rights 5 minutes later? It makes no effing sense whatsoever.
Which would point to it being intentional language.
I think it's very possible it's intentional. I mean, first of all, I personally picture these meetings going on in the cave from Temple of Doom, where they rip the guy's heart out and they're all dressed the same way. Balaram, Sunaram, Balaram. That's how I picture it. So I don't know. I mean, but I do think that like there's a real legitimate possibility that this bill is essentially written by Planned Parenthood or an activist like this. Like, you know, the average Democratic congressperson doesn't I'm not saying they don't understand what's going on here. They do. But they're not going to understand what the loopholes are. What are the problems with this? They go to their buddies who have been donating money to them, the experts in the field, the abortion doctors and the Planned Parenthood workers. And they say, hey, what should we make sure is in here just in case to protect you guys? What if somebody comes after you? Mm-hmm. And they say, well, you know what? Mm-hmm. Sometimes they get born alive.
Postnatal.
And like the postnatal thing, like we got to kind of let them sit on the thing and it's really ugly. And we don't want to talk about that. But if we could slide that in there and we could be protected legally, that would be really good. I think that is entirely possible here. It would be interesting. And the pushback in this one, because my understanding of the bill, you might know, Sarah, is that it's already done, right? It's already through. Mm-hmm. So like the only pushback I have heard is since it went through. So possibly, right? Like, you know, this happened with the Don't Say Gay bill, quote unquote, and I hate that phrasing, but I'm using it because everyone uses it so that we know what we're talking about. But one of the first things that the Democrats brought up was, hey, this might affect a gay teacher to come in and they can't say they went on, if they blurt out, oh, I went on a kayaking trip with my partner, they're going to lose their job. And the Republicans said, okay, that's obviously not what we're doing here. We'll fix it, though, to alleviate those concerns. Now, of course, Democrats were so disingenuous, they kept saying it anyway. But like the Republicans addressed it because that wasn't what they were going for. This, if the pushback comes before the bill is signed, they should be able to fix that. I would like to, you'd think a rational
It was signed into law.
Right. It was signed into law. So now that the pushback is there, they could easily amend this. They don't need Republicans to go along with it. Right. They don't. They could just do it themselves. We'll see. I mean, I honestly, the way it reads to me like legalistic stuff from a Planned Parenthood type mm-hmm. organization that wants to protect itself in a case of a worst case yeah. scenario that they know happens continually.
Right, right. Really, really quick.
Really quickly. So you brought up the D.C. abortionists.
Yeah, yeah.
So I looked up, because remember we had that thing here in Texas to where they were all saying that just because we wanted it to be safe,
yes.
some of these places, that was infringing upon their rights.
Yes.
So I
their
heard
their constitutional right to have abortion, which doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I heard a rumor that you can still read his Google reviews, and you can. You can look up his name, go to his Google reviews, and
no
you can
way.
Read his reviews. One of them was a very long paragraph about how she went in for, it was supposed to be a 3-day thing, but he did it in one day, and she was bleeding all night, and she got all screwed up. Another one about how the facility was filthy, not safe, boom, 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 boom. See, I mean, these are the types of things that yeah. even if you try to address it just in the smallest possible way, they all mass organize, come out against yep. you and say you're infringing on their rights, but people there are not, obviously the babies that are being aborted are being killed, but also the women are being taken advantage
yeah.
of too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. All right, so you may be probably like seething after this topic. Just stick with us after the break, all right? We might have good news on the horizon. We will get into it after we thank our sponsor, Home Title Lock. So look, I'm skeptical by nature. So when I first heard about home title theft, I was like, come on, this isn't a real thing, you guys. But it really is, because cyber criminals can really forge your name off of the title of your home and take over as the new owner. Everything is stored online, so it's actually very easy for them. Real estate crimes and losses are rare, you would think, but that's actually incorrect. The FBI says this crime is growing faster than credit card fraud. You're not going to be covered by any homeowner's insurance or common identity theft programs. Home Title Lock is going to protect you. They will put a barrier around your home's title. The instant they detect anyone tampering with your home's title, they will shut it down. So here is what you need to do. Go to HomeTitleLock.com, read the testimonials from FBI agents and government officials, and register your home to see if you are already a victim and don't know it. Do not wait until it's too late, all right? You gotta go to HomeTitleLock.com. That is HomeTitleLock.com. So we talk on this show a lot about the importance of participating in your local elections, the importance of being active locally. We talk a lot about Joe Biden, and you know, everything about Joe Biden is really horrible. I'm going to shoot you straight, all right? Everything about Joe Biden is actually really bad, but it doesn't affect your everyday life as much as all of these local elections do. Things may be looking up. All right. Stu mentioned that he anticipates the midterms are going to be not so kind to the Democrats. I tend to agree with you. And here is a little bit of anecdotal evidence that might make you feel good and also remind you that things can get better as long as you participate in your local election. Wisconsin's Kenosha County executive flipped red for the first time in decades. This is, of course, after all of the Black Lives Matter riots, the Kyle Rittenhouse trial that took place. Voters elected Samantha Kirkman on April 5th yesterday as the county executive. This was, it was described as nonpartisan, but she had the backing of Republicans. She serves as a Republican state representative, and her opponent, of course, was a Democrat and serves as the clerk of courts. This is the first time a woman will ever serve in the position, and the first time since 1998 that a Republican has been elected to that position. Now, I want to go through, this is not the only race last night. I encourage all of you, Election Wizard on Twitter. I don't know if you guys follow him. It's a great, well, him or her. I don't know what biological, I'm not a biologist.
Well,
so I don't know.
It would be sorcerer if it was a woman. So it's, oh. We could say it is a man.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Well, not sorceress. That's a great point. Sorceress.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right.
But right, I was going through, as Stu figures that out, I'll just go ahead and tell you, I was going through this particular Twitter account, and I was like, you guys have to pay attention to this because it's happening, okay? Parents are finally standing up and saying, you're not going to indoctrinate my children, you're not going to sexually groom them, and you're not going to tell them that they are racist if they are a particular skin color. So let's go through these. Manitowoc, I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, school board, this is in Wisconsin, flips completely two conservatives, this was last night, election alert, two anti-CRT candidates, Kelly Byrne and Steve Mikowski, have unseated an incumbent and won the election for Springfield, Missouri School Board. Byrne and Mikowski were opposed by the teachers union and local chamber of commerce. Another election alert, this was the one we discussed, Samantha Kirkman becomes first ever Republican Kenosha County executive. Here is California. Now Tulare comes in with results for CA22. Republicans looking really good tonight. Here's another one. Anti-CRT moms Heather Eslick and Jennifer Foley have won election to the school board in Lee's Summit, Missouri. Conservatives win in the two contested Elmbrook school board races. This is another location in Wisconsin. This is another one. Menomee Falls, Wisconsin. Three conservative moms on a mission have swept the three school board seats in Menomee Falls, ousting two liberal incumbents. It just goes on. Incredible. It just goes on, you guys. This is, I mean, and this is, of course, after we heard what happened in Deep Blue San Francisco, where they recalled the school board members. I mean, this is happening locally everywhere because people are finally standing up and saying enough is enough. You're not screwing with my children. So as we report all of this crazy news that is going on, I just think it's important for people to remember, like, there is power in numbers. You guys have power in numbers, but you don't if you just sit around and watch it all happen and don't get involved.
100% true. And, you know, this is happening all over the country. And this is why the Democrats are terrified, because mm-hmm. they're seeing, you know, yeah, obviously something like Glenn Youngkin, it sends them a big fat signal. They're seeing right. that terrifies them. But they're seeing this all over the place. And, you know, the farm system comes from these places. These school boards yep. are in local elections are the people that would run for Congress later on, and they're getting knocked off like crazy in not only red and purple districts, but some blue. This is, when the people are holding on, like we saw in New Jersey, they're holding on by slivers in elections they should win by 20. This is not adding up to a good package for the left. And thank God for that, obviously. Yeah. I mean, you're right. It does affect your life more when you talk about local elections than this national stuff. And also you have more control over it. I mean, you saw some of those election results. They're 3,000 and 4,000 votes. Yeah. You know, just a little bit of activism, a little bit of getting out there, a little bit of meeting the candidates and knocking on a few doors and making a few calls. I know, my wife has made, has done, we don't even have her kids in public school, but she's gone into several of these times where she's, you know, helped the conservative candidates text and call and just, you know, meet the candidates and know who you're dealing with on a local level. It makes a huge difference.
Yeah, Jason.
It's remarkable. It really is. I can't remember in my lifetime when when I was little, during the Reagan era, I remember a little bit of that. But that's the last time I remember we were actually winning any kind of the culture battle. And the amazing thing is that the left is not pivoting on this at all.
They're doubling down.
They're doubling down.
We just played Dick Durbin yesterday making excuses for people who are looking up child porn pictures. Right. Like, well, if that's their decision.
It's the same exact case that Ketanji Brown Jackson was making, during the confirmation.
Right.
I don't understand why this is the hill they're going to die on. But by all means, die on that mother.
Please.
But go ahead, because you will die on that mother. Mm-hmm. You're going to die on that hill. Mm-hmm. But it really is amazing to me. And it's funny that today there was this huge campaign. You could tell the DNC sent out their marching orders because almost every single mainstream outlet was saying, oh, this is why it's stupid to call them groomers. And, oh, my gosh, right-wing activists. Here they go, calling us groomers.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but deal with it.
Yeah.
We're going to call you groomers.
I'm actually not sorry.
I'm not sorry at all. I don't care if the definition is not perfect. I really don't, even though I can weasel it and make it pretty dang spot on. But I don't care, because you've called us Nazis, you've called us terrorists, you've called us white supremacists, literally Hitler. Mm-hmm. Pick something else. They've called us all those things for over 4 years. You're groomers. Deal with it. That's what we're going to call you now. You made that bed. You're going to have to, lie in it.
I mean, maybe if you don't like being called groomers, stop being okay with the grooming of children. I don't know. That's just, I know look, listen.
You might
have
to write that one down so people can understand.
I know, it's crazy. If you don't want to be called groomers, stop apologizing for freaking groomers. It's just a tip, all right? Take it for what it's worth. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
So if you don't want to be a groomer, then you want to groom?
No.
Okay, that's where I'm
yeah. So a church in suburban Chicago has told its parishioners that it will abstain from performing any music that is associated with white people. This is, of course, for the season of Lent. they say, Amen. in our worship Finally. Services throughout Gosh. Lent. We will not be using any music or liturgy written or composed by white people. Our music will be drawn from the African American spirituals tradition, South African freedom songs, Native American traditions, and many, many more. But you guys will find it interesting to hear. They say for Lent, it is our prayer that in our spiritual disciples, we may grow as Christians, united in the body of Christ with people of all ages, nations, races, Wait. And origins. I can't even say.
How can you be united if you're just banning their music? Yeah. It's a really weird way to unite.
They're literally, they say, fasting from whiteness, but they want to make sure you know they are all for uniting.
Yeah. That's a really, I got to give it to them. That's pretty creative because my wife is Catholic, and every year she's like, what am I going to give up? You know, and so it's like, we did this year. Or what about this? No, that was 10 years ago. Dang it.
She gives up whiteness. You're in trouble.
Right, I'm out of the house. It's like that. But white people, going on Lent and banning white people's gospel music, she's never thought of that before.
I mean, so. If she starts saying banning white people, I check her texts. And there's something going on. There's something going on there. It's a fascinating thing to watch them do this, right? Like,
yeah.
Banning, like, I just don't understand how you can get from Christianity the idea that you should discriminate based on skin color. It is ultra clear you're not supposed to do that. It is ultra, ultra clear. Hmm. You're not supposed to discriminate based on skin color. They're all God's children from all of the lands across the world. This is really clear.
You're saying that as if like God actually said that.
Yeah, and it's like,
really,
when you look at, this goes as well to people who identify as Christian identitarians and things mm-hmm. of that nature. It's absolutely bonkers when you're tying it to Christianity. It is the exact opposite of what this giant, big, fat book tells you to do. And so to implement it because I guess you think it's okay to be racist against white people is no better. It's the same as Richard Spencer. It's the same as these people who on the alt-right who do these terrible things. It's the same. It should be treated as the same. Instead, one is embraced as you can't even question it, and the other is, it's the torch people from Charlottesville. We should treat people who make decisions and ban whiteness just like the people how we treated the people in Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, if you're gonna fast from whiteness, I think that it's only fair that you like disassociate yourself from anything that any white person has ever made or invented, right? So like, ditch your iPhone. Yep. I don't know what kind of clothing you have. I don't know what kind of computer you have. But like, you should probably disassociate yourself if you are in fact fasting from whiteness. Make sure that you do it full on and not just in all of the liturgy and music. And I'm just saying, if you want to be fair, which they of course will never do because they're giant hypocrites and actually, as it turns out, the racist ones. But we've got to take a break. We'll be right back. If you have not yet gone to wherever you get your audio podcasts, you have to do that because you need to go to that little, the magnifying glass, search for the news and why it matters. You don't even, look, I didn't pick the title, okay? Everyone's like, it's such a long title. I didn't pick it, but you don't even have to write the whole thing in. It will pop up and you can click on it. And then from there, you will be able to subscribe, rate, and review the show. Not only might you see your review read live on air, but you also will be helping the algorithm because as we know, the algorithm is not kind to conservatives. And as I mentioned, you may be able to see your review read live on air, but only if you say something nice about one of these gentlemen here,
mm-hmm.
okay?
That's the way you
only
do it.
We love flattery. Flattery will get you a lot of places in life. So will a lot of other things similar to flattery, which the Vice President of the United States does know very well, that there are a lot of things that will get you many places in life. I'm not saying that you need to go to those lengths for us. I'm just saying.
Please don't.
Just saying. Flattery and other nice things may get you places in life, like this review today from No Way 2024, who probably wants no part of any of the way that I just set that up, but did say 5 stars. Yes, I look forward to the news. That's never happened. Thanks for making it fun to watch. I apologize for that setup. I did not mean to associate you with any of the things that Kamala Harris has done. We appreciate your review. Also, make sure if you have not yet gone to subscribe, do that, please, because our show is in trouble, apparently, with YouTube. We got the whole channel demonetized, and we don't know when we're going to get taken off. So make sure to go to blazetv.com. Use promo code NEWS for some savings.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.